You ready for the word this morning? Let's start off with 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. What a powerful scripture. Almost every Sunday when we read that, I see something different in it. I just see a little bit more twist. We've been doing this for what? This is the second year? Third year we've been saying this, and I'm still seeing new revelation in it. I'm still seeing new stuff in it. Now, I won't show you what I just tell you what I just saw in it, but I just saw something cool in it. We've been talking about the gifts of the kingdom. What are the kingdom gifts? And we've been basing this on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, where Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." That means to be dumb. That means to be unaware of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, if you want to, you can go with me real quick. Hold your place there. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us that, "Therefore he," meaning Jesus, "says," or it could be even be scripture says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now think about that. This is a Christmas season. This is the season of giving of gifts. Have you ever thought that God has given gifts to men? Think about that. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Now where do men live? In the earth. So where did God give his gifts? In the earth. Where does God want those gifts to operate? In the earth. Because that's where we are. He gave gifts to us. He took captivity captive, but he gave gifts to men on the earth. That is so neat because God has given us gifts. And I believe this is greater than just the 9 gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about. But it includes those 9 gifts. Can we agree on that? These 9 gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says these are for the profit of all. The 9 gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, special faith. It's not a regular faith, but a special faith. It's a gift, special gift from God. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different or diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And as we've been saying, these are not listed in importance. Some people try to rank themselves in here according to what gifts they use, or they move in, but these are not listed in any order of importance. We finished last week, and I want you to go, hold your place in 1 Corinthians 12, but go to Jude. Go to the book of Jude. It's right before the book of Revelation. It's a short book. It's only 2 pages. There's only 1 chapter, but it's a powerful book. It has a lot of things in it. And last week we shared with you verses 3 and 4, where he writes, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you," listen, "to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, he tells us, you've got to contend for the faith. How many of you understand that? If faith came naturally, we'd all have great faith. You have to contend for the faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the revealed word of God. But you've got to contend for the faith. Sometimes you hear people say, "Well, I just don't have the faith for that like some other people do." Well, you've got to contend for it. It means you got to fight for it. You got to put yourself under the discipleship of the Word of God and contend for the faith, that faith can work in you and begin to operate in you. Amen? Now, he says the reason we need to contend for the faith is in verse 4. "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We must contend for the faith because there are people coming in who want to turn the grace of God into selfishness, into lewdness. They want to rob you. Paul talked a lot in Galatians that there's people who come in, he called them false brethren, who want to come in and they want to lead you back into the letter of the law. They want you to be circumcised. They want you to do all the patterns and the traditions of men. And we talked last week, the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. it'll destroy it. So there's people coming in all the time, false brethren, who say, well, I believe the Bible. Have you ever heard that? Every believer I know says, I believe the Bible. And my next question is, I want to ask, I'm nice and I don't ask it directly, but I want to ask, well, what parts of the Bible do you believe? Because I can point out some parts of the Bible that'll challenge your faith. Hello? It's not all that hard. But I've heard all kinds of people, they deny the gifts of the Spirit, they deny the miracles today, they deny healing today, they deny the presence of God, they deny tongues, they deny all these things. Why? Because, well, they just don't believe it. But I thought you believed the whole Bible. Well, I do believe the whole Bible. No, you believe the Bible you know of, and you believe the Bible you have chosen to believe. But I'm telling you right now, and I'm speaking to myself, there's parts of the Bible you haven't heard yet. And when you do, it will challenge you to a higher level of faith. That's a good thing. I mean, if any person thinks, I've attained all that God has for me to know, you've got a tiny God. I mean, can you explain to me why God made the moon to circle the earth? Can you explain to me why he put Jupiter out there? Can you explain to me why he put universes, galaxies out there? Then you don't know all there is to know. So you need to be a disciple. That means a student under discipline, a learner under the discipline of the Scripture, because there's always more to know. See, there's people that come to steal your faith. And we said that there's two ways that they steal your faith or to make your faith ineffective. One is by legalism, and the other is that they deny the supernatural. Now, we talked about tongues last week. I want to continue to talk about it this week. Why is tongues the most controversial of the gifts? Why is tongues always the one that's targeted, that's aimed at, that people want to attack? Well, if there's any evidence of a supernatural endowment, it is tongues. And if they can squelch your belief in tongues and speaking in the Spirit, if they can stop this, they can start quenching other areas of God in your life. It's like a lot of people, I didn't know you could sing in the Spirit. Or they use excuse, well, I just don't have a good voice for singing. This isn't about your voice. This is about the supernatural. This is about you giving voice to God. It's not about you. I forget what his name was years ago in a worship seminar, and this will shock you. Singing is a spiritual thing. Anybody can sing if they're in tune with the Spirit. Now, I know that challenges a lot of us, but a lot of times we're discordant on the inside, and so it comes out that way when we sing. But he says singing is a spiritual activity. It comes out of your spirit man. And if you try to sing only out of your natural, you get natural stuff. Hallelujah. Moving on, there's a revelation in that if you listen. But faith comes, as I said earlier, not by hearing tongues and interpretation. Isn't that interesting? Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the revealed word of God. And some people say, well, if we speak in tongues, faith, it'll produce faith in other people. No, it won't. Now, because faith comes by hearing, preaching will either increase your faith or kill your faith. That's why you have to be careful what you hear, what you allow to be put into you, because what you hear preached will determine your faith and your level of faith. That's why you don't want, I'll put it like this, sound preaching reinforces the Scripture. If the preaching doesn't reinforce the Scripture, then it's not good preaching, it's not sound preaching. My father preached years ago, and I think I've shared this with you before, and he said God doesn't speak to us anymore the way he did to the prophets or the way he did to the early church. He only speaks to us now through the Scripture, and meaning legalism, and through the tradition of the church. Now, that's what he had been taught. So he didn't pursue the supernatural because the supernatural has passed away, because it just doesn't happen anymore. Well, where did he get that from? Because he was taught that. And many churches teach it today. And many Spirit-filled churches still even preach, well, sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. Well, the Bible says God never changes. Now, this warps a lot of our, quote, theology, which is man-made. Theology literally means man thinking God's thoughts. Doctrine is dogma, or doctrine is that which is in the Bible, which cannot change. And a lot of times we've based our faith not on dogma, not on doctrine, but on our theology of what we think God thinks. So when we don't get a healing, well, evidently God just chose at this time not to heal me. But the Bible says God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, it's easier to put, I'm chasing a bunny here, but it's easier to put our failure on God than it is to deal with our lack of faith. I mean, I've had supernatural healings in my body. I mean, supernatural. There is no way this could have happened. And yet, in other areas, I still struggle. Why? I'm not perfect yet. I have to keep putting it in and putting it in. I have to keep building my faith. And I found out it's a whole lot easier to build your faith when you're well than waiting until you're sick. Because I've determined I want the Word of God coming out of my mouth in the hard times, not trying to find what the Word of God has to put in my mouth in hard times. Yeah, that's right. See, if it's already in, it'll come out. Yeah. One time I was driving in the car, and I'm still a young believer, but all of a sudden the car just started spinning, and all that could come out of my mouth was Jesus. Praise God that came out of my mouth, because I believe I could have been killed in that car accident. And I literally saw the car. I'm spinning around on icy roads headed to this tree that looked like it was about 2.5 feet in diameter. Now, it is a big tree. Do you know those don't move when you hit them? I don't care how big your car is. That tree will not move. You know, it just stayed there. And I'm spinning around, and I saw that the passenger car door, front seat car door, is headed right for that tree. And all I could say was, Jesus. And the car, not in a spin, moved laterally to where I hit the rear door with the car. That was a supernatural move of God. It stopped spinning for an instant and slid straight into the tree. I'm spinning. The cars, you know how cars are when they spin. I got out of that car. I couldn't shut it off. I stumbled to the house. I was still a little bit dazed. I said, I just had an accident. And I could hear the car out there. And so all I knew was get out, you know. But God saved my life in that time. I really believe that. See, it was a supernatural event. But what came out of my mouth was, oh my God, I'm going to die. What came out of my mouth was Jesus. What's that? Savior? Redeemer, healer, restorer. Jesus came out of my mouth, and I believe that saved my life that day in from that accident. Amen? So you can say, oh me or oh my on that. You can either rejoice with me or be sorrowful, one or the other. But see, I don't want to feed my doubt. I don't want to feed unbelief. And that's why tongues are so attacked. Because if they can get you off the supernatural work of tongues, they can start tearing your faith down in every other area, because you're already beginning the work of denying the supernatural. I tell you, people are so afraid of tongues. When you start speaking in tongues, I mean, even the organized church will come out, that's of the devil. In Europe, there was a children's crusade around the 1200s, an outbreak of the Holy Spirit of God, miracles, prophecy, all kinds of things started happening. And the church authorities from Paris came out, and they sold thousands of children into slavery and put them on galley ships where they were pulling oars, and children, made them slaves to try to squelch the revival that broke out. They did. It took them about 40 years to do it. But they finally killed the revival of God. See, they hate this stuff. Why? It's supernatural. When churches, I believe, hate the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues and hate the gifts of the prophetic, because once you start doing that, man no longer dominates you. Because as the Bible says, we must obey God rather than men. You're a threat. When you speak in tongues, you're a threat to the devil, and you're a threat to ungodly, natural men, even natural men in the church. You're a threat to them because they don't know how to control this. Anyway, moving on. Jude says a little bit more about these false brethren. Go down to verse 17. He says, but you remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Now, I've got a note on my Bible that says sensual is soulish or worldly. People that are just caught up in their own soul, caught up in their intellectualism, caught up in their pride, in their selfishness, caught up in their position, caught up in, they don't like you speaking in tongues. They don't like these things because they want to cause divisions. Why? Not having the Spirit. See, when you're walking in the Spirit, you walk in unity. When you're not walking in the Spirit, you create disunity. Did you catch how I said that? When you're walking in the Spirit, you create unity. When you're not walking in the Spirit, you create disunity, division, because you're not of the same mind. The sad problem is you can walk in the Spirit one day or one moment and walk in the flesh just 30 seconds later, because we're not rooted and grounded in the things of God. Jesus asked, well, who do you say that I am? Peter, you're the Christ, the Son of God. Oh, Peter, man, I'm so proud of you. And then he says, we're not going to let this stuff happen to you. He said, get behind me, Satan. The same man. I mean, here he is glorifying God. Hey, I mean, he had a revelation of who Jesus was and went right back into the soul, right back into his natural understanding of things. And Jesus rebuked him. Wonder what we would do if people would, when we got out of faith, and if people would look at us and say, I'll rebuke you, Satan. Well, who do you think you're talking to? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Spirit behind you that's motivating you to say things of unbelief. Be a shocker, wouldn't it? Now, don't go home and start saying that to everybody. If you feel like they're in unbelief, don't start calling, well, get thee behind me, Satan. Better be by the Spirit of God to do that. Okay. Jude says these people don't have the Spirit. Well, what's Jude's direction to us? What does he say to us? Go to verse 20 and 21. He said, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. He says, you've got to build up your faith. Isn't that wonderful? You've got to build up your faith so that these men can't steal it from you and can't intimidate you. But he goes on, you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude is telling us one of the ways to build your faith up is to pray in tongues, to pray in the Holy Spirit. With what was going on this morning, to sing in the Holy Spirit. This is one of the ways to build up your faith. Now, one of the reasons for this, and this is a real biggie, one of the reasons for that is every time you pray in tongues, it's by faith. Did you catch that? Every time you pray in tongues, it's by faith. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's not a natural thing. It's supernatural. And every time you begin to speak in tongues or sing in the Spirit, every time you do that, you're stepping over into the supernatural. You're speaking words that you don't know. You're already flowing in a direction that you're not the one controlling it. It's not written out. There's no pre-described melody. There's no words that you have to say. You can't look at a paper and speak in other tongues off the paper. You can't do it. You can't sing in the Spirit. Now, you can sing from the Spirit and sing songs and be in the Spirit singing those songs, but you can't sing a spiritual song with words written on paper. Why? Because it comes out of your heart. It comes out of your spirit, man. It comes out of who you are in your relationship with God. Amen. Boy, it's quiet in here. But you build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. And then he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, you've got to pray in the Holy Spirit and keep yourself in the love of God. These will keep you in faith. Now think about this. Praying in tongues strengthens your faith because it requires faith to pray in tongues. It is supernatural. Praying in tongues keeps you in the love of God. Because if you start thinking that God doesn't love you, you won't pray in tongues. Matter of fact, if you don't think that God loves you, you probably won't pray. Because we pray because we know He loves us. We pray because we can boldly come before the throne of grace to obtain help and mercy in the time of our need. We come boldly. Well, if you feel condemned, if you feel judged, if you feel guilty, you don't come boldly to the throne. Sometimes we try to sneak in. God, I know I've been bad this week. Please, God, have mercy on me. But then you still don't really feel all that good, do you? How many of you, when you really pray or have really messed up, I mean, you've really messed up, well, God, I'm here again to pray before you, and I thank you, God, for my salvation. I've got to repent. I've got to change my way. Well, change your way and repent and come boldly into the throne of grace to obtain help and mercy in the time of your need. See, these are all spiritual things that we're talking about. These are all part of walking in the realm of the Spirit. Instead of asking God for love and passively waiting on him to do something, praying in tongues stirs ourselves up and activates our senses to God's love that's always with us. Now, I never really had thought about this that much, but when you pray in tongues, it's like, oh, Lord, you're with me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I knew that at the beginning, because when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was all by myself. No one laid hands on me. And I'd been praying. Debbie and I had been praying. She had already received the baptism of the Spirit, and I was jealous because I was the pastor. The pastor's to lead the flock, and my wife got this thing first, so I'm a little bit ticked at God. So I thought he had things out of order. He didn't. I was the one out of order. And I was asking him, and Debbie was gone from the house, and I was just praying. I said, Lord, I'm praying, asking you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I just thank you, Father, that I can pray in other tongues. And I heard somebody make the comment from one of the books I was reading. It says, well, the Holy Spirit uses your voice, so you've got to activate something. You've got to speak. You've got to do something. So I started just kind of making a noise, and all of a sudden I'm speaking in tongues. And my confirmation of that, now you'll laugh at this, and some of you have done exactly the same thing, but my confirmation, because I wanted to know if this was real. I knew this stuff was coming out, but I needed to know that this was real, that I'm not just faking myself. And so I got me a can of soup. I think it was tomato soup or something like that. And it's Campbell's. Praise God for Campbell's soup. And I'm reading the label. And I am speaking the English words on the label out of my mouth and in my mind, in my head. Is it the other way around? Okay, yes. Yeah, I keep getting this mixed up. I am reading the words on the label in my mind, pronunciating them properly in my mind, and I'm speaking in tongues with my mouth. Now, you try to do that on anything else, and you can't do both of them. You cannot read something on paper and have the understanding of what you're reading in your head while you're talking about something else. That's why we, quote, lose the train of our thought. Because I'm talking to you about one thing and another thought comes in, and all of a sudden I don't know where I was with you. Because my mind has switched. Two thoughts can't occupy your mind at the same time. That's why you can't listen to somebody else if all you're thinking about is how you're going to respond. Because you got two thoughts going and you can't do that. But in the Spirit, I can be thinking about one thing and I can be praying in tongues. And I can even get revelation of what I'm praying about in tongues while I'm reading something else. Because one is natural and one is spiritual. And they can both occur at the same time. That's how I proved to myself that this was God. But it also proved something else that when I look back on, I really begin to understand. I knew when I prayed in tongues, God is with me. So when I ever doubt, or you ever doubt, if God is really with you, just begin to pray in the Spirit. And it's a reaffirmation of your faith. God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. Why? Because I can pray in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit doesn't mean you're always perfect. Praying in the Spirit doesn't mean that you haven't made a mistake, but it means God hasn't forsaken you. God is still dealing with you. God is still in your life if you will yield to him. Praying in tongues is an initial entrance, but it's not the end all. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Is this making sense to you? 1 Corinthians, you didn't answer. Is this making sense to you? 1 Corinthians 13, Sometimes I need feedback, because if you don't get it, I got to spend more time on it. 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, this tells us a couple things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just going to say them and try to move on. But this means that there are two types of supernatural tongues. There's one where you speak in the tongues of men. You speak another known language but unknown language to you. Or you speak the tongues of angels. There's two different types. There's some people that they've been in restaurants and they were just funning around playing games, and they say, let's just speak in tongues to one another. And they just, over the meal, they spoke in tongues to one another and just were having a fun, just kind of playing with it, you know, just, to me it sounds a little bit trivial, but they went ahead and did it. And when they were done, the waiter came over and says, okay, I know you're done with your meal. Can you introduce me to this Jesus that you've been talking about? And they go, what? He says, you've been speaking in my natural language. You've been speaking it in perfect dialect, the way it's supposed to be. And you've been talking about Jesus among you. And I want you to tell me about this Jesus so I can be born again. Wow. On the day of Pentecost, people, they were all baptized in the Spirit and spoke in other tongues. And the people heard them speaking in their own language. Now, some people will say, well, that was a gift of interpretation that they heard them. Well, it could be, but it could also be if they were speaking in languages that were unknown to them. And people were hearing it in their own language because that's what the language they were speaking. Tongues of men. In this outbreak in France, in the time period, there were multiple languages in France. They didn't all speak the same language. And when the intellectual heads of the church from Paris came out to this farmland up in northern France where the kids were prophesying, when the documents of it show that when the head priest walked in to the building where these kids were, this one kid came up to him and spoke perfectly in his language that they only spoke in Paris, but they did not speak in this outland area. And the child spoke in this perfect dialect to this guy and told him about who he was and what he was coming here for, and God was going to judge him if he did what he was wanting to do. I mean, this is the mouth of a kid, untrained, unlearned, but he spoke this other language. See, this stuff is real. When the Church of the Brethren went into China, they started baptizing the Chinese, and they would baptize them in water. Now, these are non-tongue believers. And they would baptize them in water, and they would come up out of the water, and the Chinese would be speaking in other tongues. Of course, the missionary couldn't tell it because they didn't know what was going on because they couldn't understand Chinese. But the other Chinese said, this guy's speaking in a strange language because we don't know what the heck he's saying. And it went on for about 30 years. And then it died out because there was no instruction, there was no encouragement, there was no edification to speak in tongues. And they came up with this famous doctrine that's used worldwide. Well, I guess tongues has passed away. Because, see, tongues, as the Bible says, is a sign to the unbeliever. Let me ask you a question. Do we still have unbelievers? Then tongues hasn't passed away. See, some simple logic can answer a whole lot of questions. But we say, well, we're educated. We covered this the other week. We're educated now. We know better, so we don't need tongues. Oh, really? Well, we've educated ourselves out of the spiritual. And we've gone over into the carnal, and then we wonder why we don't see these moves anymore. And our explanation, rather than the fact that we are not believing the Bible for these things, and we're not developing faith for these things, our natural explanation is, well, God has says we don't need these things anymore. Do people still need to be healed? Do people still get cancer? Yeah. Do you think that God is happy that they have cancer? No. Cancer's under the curse. Jesus took all of our sicknesses and diseases upon him on the cross. Therefore, 1 Peter 2:24 says we were healed by his stripes. We were healed. We've already been healed. Isn't that good news? But see, if you deny the spiritual, well then, That didn't happen. Another thing in 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. It says, pursue love and desire, covet spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. This tells you also something that a lot of people misinterpret the scripture because they don't understand this because they've never experienced it. Okay? There's two uses of tongues. One, I'm talking to God. That's what Paul says here. And some people say, well, you shouldn't speak in tongues in church. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Paul says you should speak in tongues. He lists that in the order of services and to prophesy. But one of the uses of tongues is speaking to God. This is what we call your private tongues. This is just between you and the Father. Okay. Another method of use of tongues is tongues with interpretation. Now, this involves two of the kingdom gifts, two of the nine gifts of the Spirit, which is the same as prophecy. Now, tongues, individual tongues, Paul says, edifies myself. That goes along with Jude, building myself up in my most holy faith, praying in other tongues. See, when I pray in tongues, I'm talking with God. I'm getting direction from God. Sometimes I'm just praising God. I'm just worshiping God. I'm just loving on God. And it's like, have you ever gotten to the point of where you don't know how to say what you want to say? There's something in your heart. Like you want to tell somebody how much I love you, and you just can't find the words. They just cannot express what it is that you're really feeling at the moment. Have you ever been that way with God? So when you pray in tongues, you can tell God because he understands. Because the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. When you're going through hard times, praying in tongues will get you through those hard times because, again, God is making intercession, or the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you. So you're talking between you and God. And you can receive understanding in that time of praying to God. There's a whole lot of things that I don't really want to take the time to get into, but there's a whole lot of things on it. But this is your private tongues. This is between you and God. Now, speaking tongues with interpretation. See, let me back up just a little bit. When I speak with the tongue of angels to God, I'm not talking to you. That's one of the points of confusion. Well, I don't believe people in church should be speaking in other tongues. Well, I think people in church shouldn't be speaking to one another. But you do. Sometimes during a sermon. And I'm thinking, stop it. Because you need to hear what I'm saying because it's important. Amen? Amen. I want to get a good affirmation on that one. But see, but you're not talking to me. If you're talking to someone you're sitting beside, you're not talking to me. It's not my conversation. You're talking to somebody else. Now, if you're talking to me, you'd say, hey, Gordon, you know, and you'd interrupt. Or you'd say, I challenge that statement. I question this. You say, well, it's out of timing, but to do that while I'm preaching, amen. But unless it's really bad. But you're talking between yourself. And it's not right for me to say, now, what'd you tell her? Or what'd you tell him? Or yeah, it's like no, what do you need to know? I'm not talking to you. Well, when I'm talking to God in other tongues, I'm not talking to you. And if I want you to know, God will give me the interpretation. Oh, now we're moving over into prophecy. See, now this is public tongues. This is tongues for interpretation. This is tongues for the whole body. Why? For the profit of all. For the profit of all, this is given, tongues and interpretation. Now, we've got to understand this because this is exactly why some denominational groups have restricted speaking in tongues and services. Pentecostal groups, the Nazarene church used to be a Pentecostal church, and they forbid speaking in other tongues. Now they don't do it at all. Now they deny that tongues ever exist and claim in their doctrinal statements now that tongues has passed away. You find a lot of current day, I won't name the denominations because they're still around and they're close, but they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they believe in speaking in other tongues and they encourage people to do it individually, but they do not allow it in their services. Why? Because there is so much confusion over this because Christians don't understand what's going on with it because they forbid speaking in tongues because, well, it's supposed to be public for everybody. Well, no, not always. You can speak in tongues, it's not public, it's just between you and God. When you're singing a song, sometimes you just want to go off into tongues and just pray to God because your spirit's so excited and I don't know how to say it, so I'm going to say it in tongues. And you just go in that direction. But they want to avoid confusion. They want to avoid people saying, well, this whole private, public thing, they want to avoid all that So they just ban speaking in tongues altogether. The unwanted result is a lack of moving of the Holy Spirit. In the denominations and local congregations I know that have denied the praying in tongues in public services, they also do not move in the supernatural. They don't move in the gifts of healing. They don't move in the gift of prophecy. Why? Because they've squelched the operation of the Spirit in the normal manner that it takes place. Speaking in tongues is one of the foundational gifts for to move into so many supernatural areas. Now I answer this question. Well, does it mean I can't move in those areas if I don't speak in tongues? No. You can move in those areas. The likelihood is diminished that you will. Now notice, you can. You can still pray for healing. You can believe the scripture because it says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you can believe that and you can lay hands on the sick and God will recover and God will heal them and they'll recover and they'll be okay. But the probability of you doing that is greatly diminished because you haven't built the foundation of intimacy with God. You haven't built that intimacy of a relationship, of the supernatural moving in your life. See, this, they say marijuana is a gateway drug. Speaking in tongues is kind of like a gateway gift. It just starts opening up things to you. When I began to speak in tongues, I began to move over into prophecy, and I didn't know what it was. I shut it down to start with because I didn't understand this. I had no reason, and God had to deal with me on that. When he started telling me to move out in prophecy in public and speak, oh, that was a big move of faith. But if I had not had the establishment of speaking in tongues, I probably never would have done that, even if God had urged me to do it. Or I would give it through my carnal reasoning and filter it through my understanding that may be right or wrong, but not let the Holy Spirit speak freely to give me fresh revelation. Because I've already worked and practiced at denying the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. This is why it's so crucial. Let me answer another quick question. If I don't speak in tongues, am I born again? Yes. Speaking in tongues has nothing to do with being born again. But how God impressed me years ago, because when we started hearing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with other tongues, you know, the first question pops up, well, I don't feel like I really need this. And as Debbie and I began to study this, we found out that Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem without it. And there are several other places where this is imperative. We found that the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit multiple times, immersed in the Holy Spirit multiple times. We found out that they preached when they went to other cities. They said, well, have you heard about Jesus? Well, yes, we've been baptized into the baptism of repentance. He said, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? He said, no, we haven't heard about that. You mean you're a Christian without power? That's kind of what they were asking. You're a Christian without power? You don't have power? He said, well, let me give you the power. Okay, we never heard about the power. See, and this is where most Christians are. We believe in believing Jesus for salvation. We've never been told there's power that comes with it. And so they said, well, yeah. We want the Holy Spirit. Well, Debbie and I started reading these scriptures, and this is how I prayed. I won't talk for Debbie. I'll talk for me. This is how I prayed to God. I said, God, I don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand why you feel like it's important, but I can read from your scriptures that you feel like it is. So, God, because this is important to you, I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit with the utterance of other tongues. Not because I felt like I needed it, but because God, I read that God felt like it was so important that he thought I needed it. And I submitted myself under the hand of God. God, if you think this is important for me to understand and to have, then I yield to your wisdom above mine and I ask you for the gift that you want to give me. Why would you turn down a gift that God wants to give you? Oh, I don't need that. Well, yeah, you can go to heaven without it. You can pastor without it. You can do a lot of good things without it. But why would you want to do it without the power, without Christ daily working in your life? Why would you want to do that? See, when we start denying tongues and start denying, that's why we allow tongues in church service. That's why we encourage you to sing in the Spirit and to speak with other tongues during the service, because we're building up your most holy faith. And I hope that from this day forward, when you pray in tongues at home or in church, you begin to look at it this way. This is evidence that God is with me. He will never forsake me, never leave me. But God, the God of creation, the God of healing, the God of miracles, the God who knows the way of escape out of my problem, He is with me. And I am praying and I am asking God, Lord, for your wisdom, for your direction, for your understanding. But know that there's an awareness, and develop an awareness when you're praying in the Spirit, an awareness that God is with me. It's so important to get that rooted and grounded in our spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we got to start on this. We're going to put it into practice. Amen. Let's stand up. Now, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can receive that right now if you want to. Remember, the Holy Spirit's a person. God will not force you to do something you don't want to do. But if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, out of curiosity, I'd like to know how many are and how many aren't. But I'm not going to ask you to do that right now, because some people get really embarrassed. And this isn't to embarrass you, but if you want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, then baptism means to be immersed. And that's why it can happen over and over and over and over. There's sometimes I'm not immersed in the Holy Spirit, and there's other times I am. When I am, it's a lot more fun. But sometimes I just want to take a shower. You know, I just want to watch a movie. And I don't tell God to leave, but I'm not immersed in the Holy Spirit at that moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when I'm eating, I'm not necessarily thinking about God all the time. Should be. I'm not. Like you. But to be immersed means to be immersed under and in the Holy Spirit. If you'd like that gift of power in your life, the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit, where you can develop an intimacy with Him, just, we're going to pray this prayer in a minute, but ask God, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I yield my mind, I yield my consciousness, I yield my soul to you. Because that's the biggest obstacle we have to receiving the baptism, is our soul. And then begin to thank God that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, because if you ask Him, He'll come. And then there's a release where you've got to say, you've got to begin to speak in other tongues. You've got to begin to make a sound with your mouth. And I used to tell people, it may sound silly the first few times you do it, but if you maintain it, it'll give evidence of itself. If you maintain it. But God will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I knew one person, he says, well, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, you were? Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, I spoke in tongues once. No, that's not it. It's a continual walk with the Holy Spirit. It's speaking in tongues every day. It's speaking in tongues. It's spending time with the Father every day. It's learning to know Him. So you ready to pray? And then we just release that. So we're going to do that this morning. Well, Father, we come before you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us, Lord, the opportunity to walk in the power, the dunamis of God. And Lord, you commanded your disciples to not leave Jerusalem without it. And Lord, over and over and over, we find in your scripture the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues throughout scripture. And God, we thank you that this is a gift that you have acquired for us, that Jesus gives to us every time we ask him. So Father, now, and say this with me if you want this. Lord, I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So Father, I receive that gift right now. And I give you thanks right now. That I can speak in other tongues, in a heavenly language, to communicate with you. Yeah, sine yene moroko sene nakare re de eneroko sere yene de kate eno kode yita hata hata to kono no kode barakare bro no broko site nira kasarana yera kara te nira kata yera tam no kode bete eneroko site nira kare bro no tore yara kasara de kode barakasana. Thank you, Lord. There is a release of power in my spirit, says the Lord. Those in the church cry for my power. They cry for me to do the things today that I did in times of old, but yet they will not yield their spirit to me that I can move through them. But when you release and when you pray in my Holy Spirit, when you begin to let your spirit man loose and let him begin to overpower the mind and the intellect and the traditions of men, there can be a power in your life that flows from heaven, and it will begin to manifest and change your life in the natural, because now you are walking in the supernatural. So follow after me. Pursue these things of my spirit, says the Lord. Covet after them, as Paul told you, and seek after these things, that you would know me in my fullness, that I could fill you up to the fullness of the stature of the Son of God, that you would know what it is to be a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Ho mahasana nakasana. Praise you, God. Nero tori and neara kasana. Bro koshite in nuro poro kosana. Yera balakasana yate nekasana nakate. Yera ko shera karadoga sana karaka. Oh, Father God, we give you praise right now. Lord, I thank you for those that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for them that the enemy cannot snatch this from them. God, that you will edify them and comfort them and give them understanding as they continue to pray in the Spirit, as they continue to release their spirit that is born again by your Spirit, as they begin to release that to overpower the things of this world, that they could walk in the supernatural. God, we give you praise and we give you honor for this morning, of the gift of power, the gift of your Holy Spirit in us, Father. And Lord, we magnify you in all these things, God. It's not about us. It's about you becoming real in us, real in the earth again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.